Fanning. Weekends on 2FM.
Now, as I said there a minute ago, in terms of that the big tongue thing of the Rolling Stones, etc., if you've ever doodled the logo of your favourite rock band on the back of your copybook at school, or you spent hours on end staring at every detail of your favourite album cover, then this next thing might be for you, because it's rock and roll colouring. It's a new project founded by two friends and rock fans who wanted to provide a mindful and relaxing experience to rock fans around the world. Just before Christmas, they released the first officially endorsed colouring books from two of rock's greatest bands, Motorhead and Judas Priest. Now they're back with two more in the form of Megadeth and Thin Lizzy. Dan Tobin of Rock and Roll Colouring is on the line now to tell us about them. Dan, how you doing? Good man yourself now. First of all, how do heavy metal fans react to colouring books? I mean, I wouldn't necessarily put the two of those together myself.
Well, actually, I mean, they react really positively. I think, you know, with rock and metal album covers, as we all know, a lot of them are fantasy-based. A lot of them have very intricate artwork and very detailed artwork. And, you know, I mean, rock and metal fans are basically nerds at heart. I'm one of those myself. And you spend, or I did when I was a kid anyway and still do now, you know, hours staring into those things and wondering, you know, what was the meaning of the album cover? How long did it take to create? All that kind of stuff. And I think that, so most people, you know, they wear the T-shirts, they hang the posters up, they have the album covers at home. So they're already well familiar with all that kind of stuff, and seeing it in a colouring book is no different, I guess.
I can see where we're going with this. You're going to do knitting next, like knit your own Motorhead album cover. Okay, listen, the idea itself then, where did it actually come from, and were you initially sceptical maybe about the reaction?
Yeah, I guess a little bit. I mean, what happened was my father gave me a colouring book for a Christmas present 2 or 3 years ago. And I, at the time, was sceptical because I basically said to him, you know, I'm not 10 years old. What do I need a colouring book for? But adult colouring books are obviously a lot different. And what they do is they basically, they're so intricate and so detailed that they basically allow you to just lose yourself for a little bit in these designs and colour in, and before you know it, an hour or two's gone by, and they don't have to make you feel better. I mean, my father used them to relieve anxiety, and I think, you know, that's what they've become known for. They've become known as a kind of mindfulness product or a stress relief product or whatever. And I think, like anything creative, you know, be it music or gardening or art, you know, if you can lose yourself in something for an hour or two, that's a great thing to just take, you know, weight off your shoulders for a little bit and just forget about things, and at the same time have a bit of fun and do something creative. So it works on both.
Yeah,
levels.
I'm just thinking that possibly this has been thought of maybe before, like unofficial ones, if you like. So how did you guys get these kind of officially recognised?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I mean, when we started looking into it and we had this idea, I immediately recognised that none of the books that were on the market were official. They were all, some of them were terrible. In fact, we found one book that I think was supposed to be a Kiss colouring book, but it had Motley Crue on the front cover. It wasn't even Kiss. You know, they didn't even know the difference between one or the other. So for us, me and my partner Lisa in this project, you know, we've worked in the music business for between us, you know, for God knows too many years. But and we know the minds, you know, we know what we like as rock fans, and we know what rock fans appreciate. And what they appreciate is authenticity above all things. And so we went out and got, we basically approached companies that own the licensing rights for these and explained what we wanted to do. I'll be honest, it took a little bit of explaining because it's not the usual product that they would probably license out. But once they saw how it reacted when we put those first two out, you know, I'm sure that a lot of people have bought these books just to have them, you know, because that's what, again, that's what rock fans do, don't they? We all collect these things, and we're proud to have like 25 copies of the same record, even though we don't need it. And, you know, 15 T-shirts that have the same design on. But a lot of people are getting a lot out of this as well from a creative point of view as well. So
you used to work for Earache Records, somewhere in the north. Was it Newcastle or Nottingham? I can't remember, but I do remember
Nottingham.
Yeah. And like, tell me, Napalm Death. Explain me to that. Were they, did you like them?
Well, no. Earache was known for, or is known, I suppose, still for basically being the creators of the extreme metal scene. So basically all the bands that Earache did in the very early years were very, very, I mean, frankly, it was unlistenable noise at the, you know, back then. But Napalm Death became known as a band that had very fast and very short songs. Famously, they have a 1 second song that's in the Guinness Book of Records or whatever. But no, I worked there for way over 20 years and worked with all those bands. And, And all of those bands had great careers across the world, playing a kind of music that would never get on the radio or television, but that didn't matter. We still were able to, you know, have a global career. So, and I actually had this idea back then, and kind of floated it a bit, and people looked at me like I was kind of stupid. I left Earache last year, and that allowed me a bit of time to go, right, you know, I really want to do this. I'll tell you the other thing that was important to this was the whole lockdown thing.
Yeah.
I read an article where the post office said that, this is incredible, right? 8% of all packages sent during the first lockdown through the post office were colouring books. 8%.
Really?
That's crazy, right?
Well, I mean, so you know, with mental health at the top of the bill for everybody, I mean, this is one of the things you're talking about here. So let's get back to what we're doing here. We're talking rock and roll colouring, and I mentioned there earlier on Motorhead and Judas Priest, and now Megadeth and Thin Lizzy. So Thin Lizzy, Jim Fitzpatrick's art for Thin Lizzy, very iconic, of course. How did you approach him and Phil's estate to get the official nod?
Well, this is great because the other books I approached the licensee officially, but Thin Lizzy, I had no idea who looked after all that stuff. The truth of the matter is, I met a guy in the pub, and I know it sounds stupid, but I met this guy in the pub. We got introduced through some mutual music business friends, and they said, oh, you should talk to him because he deals with Thin Lizzy. And I was like, oh, great. You know, so we got talking about everything. I'm a complete Thin Lizzy nerd and collector and everything. So we talked for hours about this. And just at the end, I said to him, hey, you know, I'm probably not interested, but I do these colouring books. I'd love to do a Thin Lizzy colouring book. And he got it immediately. He understood what the concept was immediately. The one thing I said to him was, I know Jim Fitzpatrick doesn't own the artwork, but obviously he did all the artwork, all the iconic albums. And he must endorse this in some way, agree to it, because I can't do it if Jim Fitzpatrick doesn't feel comfortable with the idea. Luckily, Jim was comfortable with the idea. He's been very helpful. And so the whole thing was born from a meeting in the pub, but then it moved very quickly. This guy I had met cleared it with Thin Lizzy Estate and with Jim. And from that point on, we were all systems go.
Okay, so that's four. Are we going to have 40 at some stage? Like, will you just keep going?
Yeah, I mean, the success of them means that, you know, we know that we've got something here, and we already have a couple more in the works. The next one will be an Alice Cooper coloring book, actually, and we've got several others coming down the line. But the Thin Lizzy one is reacting so well, and it's no surprise. I mean, come on, we all know this, but so many orders from Ireland.
Right, exactly. Well, I'll talk
ridiculous.
About
so,
that in a second or two, because where can people get them, by the way? I mean, like how
well,
do you...
It's, I mean, yeah, quite simply, you can go on, if you find us on social media or go to our website, which is rockandrollcolouring.com, and you can find out how to order them from there.
Rockandrollcolouring.com, and colouring is spelled with a U in the middle, not like in America. Okay, so...
It's the British spelling, yeah.
Yeah, so as fans of these bands, who's on your dream list for an official colouring book? Like, what album artwork do you want to colour in the most? Napalm Death, maybe?
It could be a niche one, you know. Actually, I wouldn't say no to that. But actually, my personal number one hit list that I need to get is a band I'm a big fan of called Iron Maiden. And
Of course, it would be. I mean, with Eddie and all that, and lots of colour there.
Of course, right. So there are countless designs. We're actually already in talks with them about this, and we floated the idea of a couple of books with them because there's so much.
Do you know? Surely the prog rock early 70s, Yes, and all that Roger Dean stuff.
Yeah, that's another one that I would love to do because all his, I mean, to take that guy as an example, you know, that is the very definition of like being able to lose yourself in artwork when you're a kid. Those albums used to fold out about five times, you know, into this whole big picture that you could look at. So
absolutely. Who could forget the Tales from Topographic Oceans?
One of the best, you know. I mean, you know, that artwork is still, it, not only does it lend itself, I mean, when you look at things like that or any of the ones that we've done so far, depending on whatever your musical taste is, but and you were talking about Rolling Stones there as well. You know, they are the same. Some of their album covers, you know, I can take a leaf. But if you're talking about things, you know, some of those classic album covers, you really do lose, at least I do anyway. That's the whole point. The part that I love about listening to music so much is not only the music, but the packaging that goes around it. And I know that's kind of an old school way to look at it, what with Spotify and iTunes and everything else, which I also use, by the way, and love.
Yeah.
But you cannot beat sitting there, surely, putting a record on and then just, you know, getting the album cover and having to kind of losing yourself for that half an hour that you
absolutely and if you had the original Sticky Fingers, you can play with the real zip. So look, even though initially pairing heavy metal with colouring sounds kind of different, odd, strange, ridiculous, the artwork for that type of music really does lend itself to colouring more than any other genre, doesn't it?
I think so, and I think, you know, that's not to knock other genres, and I'm a fan of all music, I'm sure you are too, but there is a particular thing. It's that fantasy based metal artwork, which a lot of people deride and think is stupid, but actually when you look at the kind of detail that goes into those paintings, some of those paintings, especially in the albums from the 80s and 70s and 80s, they are works of art in their own right. And I think, you know, we mentioned him a couple of times already, but someone like Jim, you know, he has a definable style that you couldn't honestly say anybody else ever got near.
Yeah.
And many of those heavy metal covers, Iron Maiden especially, a very obvious example, are as important to those bands and the mystique that surrounds them as the music is as well. So they go hand in hand.
Well, then, just the most important thing for people to find out more, great Christmas and birthday present for the rock person in your life. It's Eyesore Merch. That's really where you go. That's EyeSoreMerch, EyesoreMerch.com. And you can find out everything there, right? And you can buy them all over the place. That's brilliant. So, Dan, thank you very much indeed. Have you any to give away, have you?
Yes, I believe that we're going to give away 3 copies to lucky people that want them. So
do I have to give a question or something? I'll tell you, here's a question then. Have you got a question, do you?
That's the question for you, surely. But I think if we put them up on the website, we could come up with a good question and people. We'll make it easy so people, you know, it's fair and easy for people to enter.
Right, okay, all right, okay. Well, do you want me to say a question now? Okay. Here's the question then. We had him on the programme just some time back and he was fantastic. Who is he? He's the lead singer of Judas Priest. What's his name? So answer with name and address to 51552. Give it to us now and you'll get a copy of one of these things. We're talking here rock and roll colouring books. And if you want to hear the question again, tough, I'm only going to say it once. So I've said it, hard luck. And we're talking rock and roll colouring and you can check it all out there at eyesoremerch.com. Listen, oh, we're going to pick 3 winners. Oh, you're going to have to give us 3 of them. Good man yourself. All right, Dan, it's been a pleasure. Dan Tobin, thank you very much, Dan, for talking to us. And good luck with the next 36 to get to 40. Thanks a million.
Thank
See
you.
Bye.
Dave Fanning, weekends on 2FM.